that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-born privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study from His precious Word together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out today, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open God's precious Word together. If you cannot open your Bible, then please listen. Let God speak to your heart as we study from the Word of God today. We're turning our Bible today to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. And I want to read some verses of Scripture in Matthew, chapter number 6, and begin a new series on the subject of prayer. And, of course, we'll include praying for missionaries as we go through the study of prayer. I realize that I could preach for months upon months from the subject and never exhaust it. There's such a great need that we understand praying. And then there's even a greater need that we just involve ourselves in the ministry of prayer. The Holy Spirit just brought to my mind many years ago, I was in a meeting and I was preaching with a man who is a known man of prayer. He said in that meeting that some men had tried to get him to write a book on the subject of prayer, and he prayed about it. And he said the Lord impressed upon him, if he was to write a book, all he needed to put in it was two words: try it. Just simply practice praying. If you pray, you'll learn to pray. If you do not pray, you will never learn to pray. You can read all the books in the world, and you can study all the scriptures about prayer and memorize all of them. But until you get on your face before God, humble yourself, repent of your sins, and seek God's face, then you will never know what it is to have a life of prayer. One dear man of God said, I'd rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. If we could teach men to pray, then there would be power in preaching. And I'm not talking about just saying a formal Sunday morning prayer. I'm not talking about just saying the blessing over our food as we sit down at the table to eat our meal. I'm talking about a communion with God in prayer, entering into the secret place, and you talking with God and God talking with you. Before I begin with the scriptures, I want to just mention several things that I've collected down through the years that prayer will do in the life of an individual. Someone has said these. I picked them up. Maybe a few of them I wrote down myself. First of all, prayer is a sin killer. Prayer will keep you from sinning, and sin will keep you from praying. So prayer is a sin killer. Then prayer's a life changer. The man that prays, it will affect his life, both inwardly and outwardly. Prayer is a victory giver. Prayer is a holiness promoter. Prayer is a dispute settler. Prayer is an obstacle remover. Prayer is a Christ revealer. Prayer is a revival bringer. Prayer is a church builder. And then prayer will open the windows of heaven. Prayer will bar the gates of hell. Prayer will shut the mouth of the gainsayers. Prayer will loose the chains of sin. Prayer will bind the forces of evil. Prayer will supply our every need. And prayer will open the doors of opportunity for the people of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that I could take each of those things that I just mentioned, give you scripture for them, and preach for some time upon them. But let me just name them again, just to remind us about the advantage of prayer. Prayer is a sin killer. It's a life changer. It's a victory giver, a holiness promoter, a dispute settler, an obstacle remover, a Christ revealer, a revival bringer, a church builder. Prayer opens the windows of heaven. Prayer bars the gates of hell. Prayer shuts the mouth of the gainsayers. Prayer looses the chains of sin. Prayer binds the forces of evil. Prayer supplies our every need, and prayer opens the door of opportunity. No wonder the devil hates the prayer closet and hates for us to pray. He will do anything and everything that he can to keep you from praying. One of the greatest battles that you have in your Christian life is when you purpose you're going to pray. There'll be so many things that the devil will bring up in your mind, even good things that need to be done. I want to spend several broadcasts, as the Holy Ghost directs us, dealing with the subject of prayer. I'm coming, first of all, to a message preached by the greatest preacher the world has ever known, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had much to say about prayer. Maybe before I finish the series, God will allow us to look briefly at the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them are recorded in the Word of God. And then in John 17, we have that great intercessory prayer that our Lord prayed just before going to the cross of Calvary. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 5. And the Word of God said, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 6, the Bible said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Let me just stop with a reading of those three verses and deal with them on the broadcast today. I want you to notice two things in these verses of Scripture. First of all, in verse number 5 and in verse number 7, our attention is called to the purpose of our praying. And to make it short and simple, I could say to you, verse number 5 teaches us that we are not to pray to be seen of men. Verse number 7 tells us that we're not to pray to be heard of men. Notice these verses of Scripture. The Bible said in verse number 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the street, that they may be seen of men." The purpose of their praying was that men would see them praying. And friend, I want to say to you, there's a lot of that still done today. If we do not pray to be seen of men, then we would do our praying in our private time just as we do in our public time. If praying is so important to us when we're in the presence of others, then it ought to be important to us when we're alone. Fact is, I am convinced that the greatest things are accomplished in our prayer life are accomplished not in our public praying, but in our private praying alone with God. So he said, first of all, do not be as the hypocrites are, for they pray to be seen of men. And then he said down in verse number 7, don't be like the heathen, for they pray long, repetitious prayers that they may be heard of men. So God tells us the purpose of praying is not to be seen of men, nor to be heard of men, but it's to be seen and heard of God. Notice in verse number 6, the Bible said, the last part of the verse, "But the Father which seeth in secret." God sees us when we enter into our secret place of prayer. And God hears us when we get there and call upon his name in prayer. So the purpose of praying, our thoughts should not be that we want to be seen of men, but that we're seen of God. And it should not be that we're going to be heard of men, but our desire should be that we're going to be heard of God. So he gives the negative here. The purpose is not to be seen of men, and it's not to be heard of men. Could I stop a moment and ask you, why do you pray? What is the intent and purpose of our praying? Is it to be seen of men? is it to be heard of men? No, my friend, it's to be seen and heard of God. Then as I looked at these two verses of Scripture, I realize it's not the place that God is condemning. In verse number 5, the Bible said that they love to pray in the synagogues. Nothing wrong with praying in the synagogue or in the church house. And then he said they love to pray standing on the street corner. And again, there's nothing wrong with you praying on the street corner. He is not condemning the place. He is condemning the purpose of their praying. Then I want you to notice again, he's not condemning the posture of their body. They're praying standing. My friend, I know in respect we get on our knees often to pray, and we should. And we bow our head and humble our heart before God to pray. But I want to tell you, my friend, God can hear and God can answer a prayer when we're standing, when we're walking, when we're sitting, when we're laying down. It does not matter the posture of our body, the position of our body. That's not what God is condemning. So he is not condemning the place of their praying. He is not condemning the position that they're in physically while they're praying. But he is condemning the purpose. He said they pray to be seen and heard of men. And then down in verse number 7, he mentions the fact that these heathen pray repetitious prayers to make their prayers long. Now again, our God is not condemning repetitious praying. There's nothing wrong with us pleading over and over and over again, if it's sincere from our heart, the petition that God has placed upon us. There's nothing wrong with us being repetitious in that petition. But if our purpose is to lengthen our prayers, to make them longer than someone else may pray, and to impress people, to be heard of men, then our purpose is wrong. So we see here God deals, first of all, with the purpose of our praying. He teaches us the negative aspect. We are not to be praying to be seen of men. And we're not to be praying to be heard of men. But then he gives us the positive aspect. We're to pray to be seen of God. And we're to pray to be heard of God. What a blessing it is to my old heart when I realize that I can enter into my secret place of prayer and I can talk to God, and God sees me praying and God hears me as I pray. Father, take the word now. Use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white. It's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. Let me encourage you that you pray for the radio stations that carry the Harvest Time broadcast. November is our anniversary month. On the first Monday in November of 2002, I began broadcasting the Harvest Time broadcast. God has been so good to us. Lives have been blessed. We've had a report of one dear lady being saved by listening to the broadcast, and God has blessed us. We're on about 45 to 50 stations as we pass through our anniversary month. And I need to hear from a number of you. Your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on your station during the coming year. So I encourage you, take a few moments today as we leave the air, pray for us, and then sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address your letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. Be sure to include the call letters of the station you listen to, and your letter will be a vote to keep the broadcast on the air where you're listening. God bless you until the next broadcast.
I do not.